for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 3rd, 1995. Fourth of July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the speaker of the morning.
Service this morning, as soon as I turn the tape recorders on, to Brother George Wingate.
Let me tell you something, folks. The devil hates to hear you say you will arise. He wants to keep you earthbound. He desperately wants to keep you earthbound. Because the minute you recognize who you are in Christ, the minute you begin to take your position as the believer that you're supposed to be, the devil's defeated. Glory to God. I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. If you can't get excited in Jesus, then get somebody with some feathers to tickle you and do something, but start getting excited. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Lord, we sang that song about the mountains. How does that go? Somebody remind me. We were singing just a while ago. Yeah, the mountain shall be removed. What kind of mountains are you talking about? A mountain of dirt out there? No, it comes down to that thought that's in your mind that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you just can't seem to move it. Well, the Bible talks about some dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. So why not just take the dynamite of the word and blow that mountain away? It'll do it. And you know how you light that stick of dynamite? You start praying in the Spirit. That's the fuse in the fire that lights it up. Yeah, that's what I wanted, not this stuff. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to look at a word this morning. We're going to start with that one. And before we do, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you, I praise you for this time of being your spokesman for this particular moment in time. Now again, Lord, by faith, I'm just going to get me out of the way and I'm going to say, Holy Ghost, just take over. And by faith, I'm going to trust God that you as the Spirit and you as the Word will bear witness together and that we will be enlightened, we will be encouraged, we will be blessed, we will be lifted up, we will be strengthened, and we will become more like Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Father, we give you the praise and the glory, and we count it done because your word says when we pray, believe those things we pray for, and we shall have them. Believe that we receive them, and we shall have them. So, Father, we just give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Oh, hallelujah. All right. Justified. Just as if I have never sinned. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. Romans 5:1. Let's have a little look there. I've got two Bibles here this morning. I've got the New King James, and I've got my Amplified. I'll let you know when I'm reading from the Amplified. Romans 5, verse 1. Now, if any of y'all are taking notes, I might just give this little tidbit to you. Romans 5 is the promise. The four P's, if you want to write it down on the heading, are the four P's. Romans 5 is the promise. Romans 6 is the problem. And Romans 7 is the provision and Romans 8 is the power. Promise, problem, provision, power. Those four chapters. And if we didn't have anything else to go by, we could take those four chapters and really get stirred up. Hallelujah. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what did I say? When was it? Yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon? I lose track of time. Anyhow, when I was teaching the last time, I said that we just simply must come to that place of taking God at His word. You know, if God said it, that the bumper stickers, as I've seen in the past, says God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, you just simply better believe it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Someone come up with an acrostic for the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. I don't think yet that we've really got it down deep inside of us and really comprehended what Jesus purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. The liberty, the freedom, the joy, the peace, all the goodness of life in every area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, justified. Peace. Isaiah 26:3, God says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind stayed on me. Now, God's not the author of confusion, is He? But of peace. So any time that we lose our peace, any time that there is contention or strife or whatever, we can know that God's not the author of it. So let's just turn over to James and let's look at something here. James chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct. Good conduct. Conduct is inner conversation acted out. I'll say that again. Conduct is inner conversation inside here acted out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart or mind, the mouth speaks. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Again, the Word of God says, he that thinks himself to be something when he is nothing deceives his own self. It's only Christ in me, the hope of glory, that's anything, worth anything. Christ is in me, that makes me worth something. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not lie against the truth. This wisdom. Now you notice it says this wisdom. I think just about every translation has that particular word, wisdom, there. This wisdom. Well, what wisdom? Bitter envy and self-seeking, that's a wisdom. Do yourself a favor sometime and get a good dictionary and sit down and just begin to look up some words and let them take you to other words concerning the trickery of your enemy and my enemy. The word craftiness, the word artifice, trickery. It's amazing where they'll take you. Listen, we're not up against a namby-pamby, red-suited gizmo with a pitchfork in his hand. Not at all. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The brain of a human being is an extremely, extremely intricate, marvelous, wonderful instrument. We have yet to even scratch the surface of what we're capable of. The brain of a human being given over to the powers of darkness can be so used to where somebody could set a glass over on that side of the room, and that other person could be standing here gazing and just looking at that glass in a very concentrated way, and that glass will begin to vibrate, and the next thing you know, it'll explode into 1,000 pieces. Again, we're not up against a little red-suited, pitchfork-carrying devil. But I'll tell you one thing. Greater is Jesus Christ. Because all that person has to do that's filled with the Spirit of God is walk into a situation like that and just turn over and look at this idiot, whatever, and say, in the name of Jesus, be quiet. And that'll stop it. Greater is he that's in us than all the forces of hell. One of my experiences in facing the enemy, this apparition stood at the foot of my bed, and it looked somewhat human. Head about 3 times the size of a normal human head, orange, red in color. And I can't breathe, and a thought goes through my mind, well, I'll be dead in the morning. They'll say he died of a heart attack. The Holy Ghost rose up in me and just kept bubbling up. Say, Jesus. And finally, I just barely got it out, Jesus. And it broke that power, and I could breathe. And that apparition, Satan or whoever, whatever, it took a step back. Then the Lord said, now say the blood of Jesus. So I got that out a little stronger, the blood of Jesus, and it walked out the door. Again, the devil come one day, and I had this, I was sitting in my den in my chair, and I'm trying to do some studying, and I begin, and there's a little air conditioner right here alongside, little window unit. And I begin to smell this smell. It smelled like wood or you know, something burning. And I thought it was coming from that air conditioner. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm looking around there, and there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, I hear this voice. I mean, just as plain as if you would speak to him, and you're talking too much. I'm going to kill you. Well, that's been about 27 years ago, and I'm still around. Obviously, the devil's a liar, isn't he? Many, 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 if not almost all the negative thoughts, I would go beyond and say all the negative thoughts that come to our mind about whatever come right out of the pit. They don't come from us. You have a thought comes, for instance, come here, brother, I want to use you. You're gonna be the bad man, okay? And, you've got a big old long feather. Now, I can't see, and you've got a big old long invisible feather in your hand, and you're tickling my under my nose, and I sneeze a couple of times. You're standing there, that eraser represents a cold. And so this brother says, Brother George, you must be catching a cold. And about that time, you throw that eraser. Sorry about that. I don't catch colds. Just let it go on by. We need to stop agreeing with our adversary. Well, you know, it's that time of year, and you know, it's time for those things to come around. I guess I'm, you know, baloney. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm prospering in good health. Praise God. Justified. Okay, let's get back to this, the other part of this, James here. Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Doesn't say a few things. Demon spirits generally work in either pairs or groups. And where you find one, you'll generally find some more. But the wisdom, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Therefore, being justified by faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All of us like to be liked. We want to be accepted. And we don't want to be put down in any sense of the word. Now, if you belong to Jesus, if you surrender to Him, and you're dead to self, how can you be put down? If I can say something that offends you, you're not dead yet. Now, if you want to prove that, go down to the morgue and pull out one of those slabs and that old corpse laying there and, you know, beat him side the head with a piece of hose, stick a knife in him, call him everything you want and see if he says anything. See if he tries to defend himself. No, he won't. Well, that's the way we're supposed to be if we're going to become Christ-like. Didn't Jesus say, what I've done, you will do? Well, Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin, a court accused of every wrong thing. And what does the Word of God say? And he did. But, no buts about it. Billy goat's butt and all he gets is... barbecued goat, huh? I'll take fish, brother. Yeah. No, we're supposed to come to that place to where if my wife says something that's and it stirs something in me and I want to retaliate, I need to get rid of that thing in me. Now, if I'm where I'm supposed to be in Christ, I'll just say, okay, whatever, honey, praise the Lord. Just shrug, you know. And then if she says, well, why don't you say something? Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, home is a good place to practice being a Christian. Practice makes perfect. The problem is most of us have to keep on practicing too long. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Beyond your wildest dreams. Almost totally incomprehensible. And yet God wants us to comprehend that peace. He wants us to apprehend that peace. To make it ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's justified. Let's look at some other scriptures here. I know I'm not going to get through all of this. Isaiah 32:15 and on. Isaiah 32, beginning at verse 15, I'll wait until everybody gets there. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. Until we accept the calling of God, until we yield to the wooing of the Spirit of God, no man comes unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. This thing up here is a wilderness. I mean, it's a wild, vast wilderness. And the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Most of us can't see the forest for the trees. Or does that go the other way? You can't see the trees for the forest. I don't know, something. Verse 16 says, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Justice. Just as if you have never sinned. The blood of Jesus cleanses, washes. We are washed by the water of the Word. And by being in this kind of atmosphere, in this kind of ministry, where you hear the truth of the whole counsel of God, as you're washed by the water of the Word, you will be delivered and set free from lies, deceptions, bondages. It's simply being willing to be opened up and accept and receive the Word of God. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Hallelujah. Verse 17, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Isn't it amazing? One time I had the privilege of going to a home of a couple that I ministered to and helped them get free from some things and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But this particular night, they had two boys that time. They were about 7 and 9 years old. And that house was an absolute turmoil, a chaotic turmoil. So I waited, and finally, at 10 o'clock, things got quieted down a little bit. And I said to this couple, now, if you'll turn that boob tube off and just pay attention to me, I've got some good news for you. Somebody said that they wouldn't talk to anybody as long as the box was going, and I'm the same way. I'm not going to try to talk to anybody as long as that boob tube's going. So they turned it off, and we got down to brass tacks at 10 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, all right, now, the conviction of God was so strong on them, I said, are you all ready to just surrender your lives to Jesus, get baptized, two good devout Baptists? I said, and get baptized in the Holy Ghost, get the fire and the power of God, and get this home in order? Yep, so I led them in prayer, and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I was back there a few days later, and the youngest boy had did something, and his dad called him, and the boy says, not again, Dad. I mean, Dad got him a paddle, and he got busy. And a couple of boys got straightened out. If there's anything that every day, all of us ought to pray for the parents of this nation. But we've got some generation coming along now that are absolute nothing but total rebels. Just as the Bible said, you spare that rod, you don't put that rod, and you allow that kid to literally go to hell. Verse 18 says, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. I like that. How about you? My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Now, I'll share this little bit of testimony. This is me. I'm not saying that, you know, that most, probably everybody in here's got a television, and I'll pray for you. I didn't have one for quite some time, and when the Persian Gulf War started, through a little pressure, I allowed television to be purchased and come back into my home. And after that was over with, they just insisted that we keep it. And then I noticed that the folks at my house, were primarily my wife and my sister, got a little bit more involved in the daytime shows, you know, and the Wheel of Fortune and all of that kind of stuff. And I said, are y'all spending as much time in the Word as you are watching that thing? No answer. And then I began to notice some little bit of foxes getting in there and contention between my wife and my sister. I said, that's enough. Out it goes. And it left. And with a little bit of counsel and ministry to them, the contention and the strife left. Now we have peace again. Why do we want to pipe garbage into our house, into our minds? I'd rather go out there and get in a garbage can and smear that garbage all over myself than to have that stuff. Well, let's go on. I'm meddling. John chapter 16. John 16, verse 33. Everybody there? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Are you an overcomer, or are you overcome? You know, you can measure how dead you are throughout the day. At the end of the day, you just look back and say, well, now, what did offend me? What did I get upset about? That guy cut in front of me down there and then turned the corner. That kind of irritated me a little bit. I left the house and that dog just again run around the front of the car. I was about to get out and, you know, take care of that situation, but I went on. The Word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And we sacrifice our peace and well-being by being disobedient to the counsel of God. The Word of God says that there's two reasons why we as human beings suffer problems. And there's only two reasons. One is rejection. We hear the truth. We don't abide by it. We don't practice it. Or we are ignorant of the truth. It's no sin to be ignorant of the truth. God will see to it, just like He's brought people here throughout the camp meetings in the past however many years. 21, I think you said, Glenn? 21 years you've been here? People have been coming and hearing the truth, learning the truth. There's no sin in being ignorant. But there is sin when you rebel against the knowledge of the truth and don't do it. And the Word of God has a very explicit statement in Hebrews. It says, once you come to the knowledge of the truth and then turn away, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for of indignation and wrath that will devour the adversary. Road of life. This point, we accept Jesus. We go on down this point. We've heard some truth. Then we listen to a thought and we go off on this tangent. And oh, it looks, all the little stuff looks so good. And finally we get down about here and we say, oh my, oh God, where are you? God says, well, I'm walking still along the road of life. I haven't changed. I haven't moved. And we say, oh God, well, would you just help me and get me out of this mess? And God says, okay, I'll go exactly by my word. You repent. The word repent means to turn around. And we say, but oh God, wouldn't you just pick me up and put me back up? No, God says, no, I ain't gonna do that. You turn around, I'll give you power over all the power of the devil that drew you down there. And you come right back up through there, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not going to just again just say, okay, you're forgiven, it's all blotted out, and I'll stick you back over here. That won't work. By the time we work our way back up here, we've learned some lessons. If we got any sense at all, we won't fall for those lies again. Hallelujah. Justified. Ephesians 2. Well, we started out here with a little piece of steak, and then we had a baked potato. And then we had just a little bit of coleslaw. Now let's see. I guess we need to have some, you know, a nice helping of green beans, maybe.
Please turn the tape over for the conclusion of this message on side two.
Ephesians chapter 2. In other words, Glenn, I better hush or people will be making a line back there. All right, Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been made near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Remember I said that you are joined to God. Joined to God. When I look at you, I don't see you. I only see the house that you live in. You, the real you, are a spirit being. A spirit being. And you are to feast and feed on the Word of God. And you are to fan that Word, set that Word afire by the Holy Ghost.
and let that word become a roaring fire within you, and let it purge and burn out of you everything that's not of God.
Hallelujah.
Fan that word by praying in the Spirit daily, daily. And if you haven't got a prayer language, then get it. It's yours. It's yours. That's part of your inheritance. It's important. When you pray in the Spirit, that's not the Spirit of God just rattling off in you. That's you, the Spirit person, talking to God. Paul said, when I pray in tongues, I don't pray, my Spirit prays. And I'm speaking to God. How important is it to talk to God? Glory to God. God wants to hear us from the Spirit man. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this flesh and blood stuff don't get anywhere. It's only from the Spirit that we can communicate and get tuned in to God. Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The more you pray in the Spirit, the stronger spiritually you're going to become, and the less control this thing will have over you. You know what a balance scale is? You got a balance scale, and you put 5 pounds on this side, and you put stuff in this side until it balances out. Then you know you got 5 pounds of flour or whatever over here. When we come to God, that balance scale, the old man has got that thing, and it's, you know, the old man's way up here. It's totally opposite from what the weighing process. The old man, the natural man, the sensual man, he wants to be king. He wants to be God. He's controlled by the devil. God woos that spirit man, and that spirit man begins to feed on the word, and that side begins to come up a little bit, and this side begins to go down, and little by little by little, and the next thing you know, we finally realize, hey, I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. And this old man over here, as he says, tries to get back up a little bit, and you say, no, shut up, get down there. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. In him, who? Jesus. In Jesus all the fullness should dwell. Well, where's Jesus at? I don't hear you. Jesus is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So then it pleases the Father that in you all fullness should dwell. The fullness of God. This little missionary went to Africa, and he was in this village that was rampant with witchcraft and witch doctors. And they got together, and they had a powwow, and they said, we don't want him here. We're going to kill him. True story now. I'm not just telling you some fictional something. And so they come out of there all worked up and ready to go and just destroy him. Well, they walked around, and they come around the corner there and started up the main little street in this little old village. And here coming down toward them was this big ball of bright, bright light. Just kind of bouncing along, you know. To them, it looked like just a ball of extremely blinding bright light. And they stopped dead still, and it kept coming toward them, and all of a sudden they scattered and took off in every direction. And when the light went on by, and you look at it from the back, it's just that little missionary walking down the road. The devils in those people saw Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, or light. Christ in him, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are a special, special people. Glory to God. Rise up and take your rightful place as sons and daughters of Almighty God. Rise up and speak to the mountains. Wherever you're from, speak to the filth and the degradation in that city. Speak to that stuff and say, die in the name of Jesus. Just simply go out and be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Go to those places that are filthy and just go up and lay your hand on it and say, I command you to shut down and die in Jesus' name. The Bible says, everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread shall become holy ground. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. What was that? Glory to God. Talk about getting excited. I get excited.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies, whereat? In your mind, by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen? The gates of hell. Oh, you mean there's some gates out there that's, you know. No, there's seven of them in your head. I was standing shaving one morning. The Lord spoke to me and said, seven's a good number, isn't it? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I put seven holes in your head. He said, I give you two ears to hear with, two nostrils to smell with, and two eyes to see with, but only one mouth. Aren't you glad I didn't give you but one mouth? I tell you, these other six are used too much by the devil for stuff to come in through those six holes, and then they come out of this one and defile us. We simply got to stop it. If you couldn't hear, couldn't see, couldn't smell, couldn't be too much coming in. Thank God we can enjoy God's creation through our eyes, ears, and nostrils, and the taste buds. Them old taste buds are awfully dumb. You can teach them to like anything. Kids, you know, little ones say you can try to get them to eat something. I don't like that. And nowadays, you know, whatever the kid likes, he's given. Just give him some more sugary stuff, some more stuff. Just keep feeding him sugar, and you make him so hyperactive, and the next thing you know, the devil's got control of that mind, and away he goes. Let's go on. Let me put one more word up here. Entrance. Psalm 119. You say, where in the world is he going? You'll see. I'm on a trip. No, I take that back. I'm not on a trip. I'm just resting in the Lord. I've already arrived. I'm seated in the heavenlies with Jesus. Glory to God, I don't have to go nowhere. Psalm 119, verse 130. Do yourself a favor and sit down and meditate for a month or so in Psalm 119. Get your little tape recorder and some blank tapes and sit down and read it on a tape. And then let your ears hear your voice talking it. And you'll be amazed at how you will come to further respect and honor the Word of God. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. If you were to walk into a strange home and you don't know where the light switches are, there's no light and it's black dark, you're subject to stumble over the coffee table, the end table, the chair, or whatever. If we turn the light on, we can see all around and we don't stumble, right? In the spirit, we try to walk through this life without turning the light on and we stumble. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The entrance of your words gives light. Is it important that we know what the Word of God says? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Word bear witness together. I was in a church one time and I knew this couple sitting over here to my left, had known them for a long time. And I'm just sitting there kind of meditating in the Word, waiting for the service to start. And the Lord says, go and show those people what you're reading. I said, okay. Picked up my Bible and walked over there. And I said, the Lord just sent me to come over and show this these several verses right here to y'all. You know, I just held it out. And the gentleman sitting right there read it. He said, you know, I've been a Christian for 19 years. And I've read the Bible, but I never saw that before. Don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever
been reading the Bible and your eyes are scanning the words, but your mind's over there somewhere? You bring it back and you try again and all of a sudden it kind of slips over there. I mean, it's amazing how we have to just sort of grab ourselves by the ear and say, come back here. Get back there on that word.
Hallelujah.
We sometimes have to force feed ourselves on the word. And I said to self, said I, self, you're going to read the word of God. And self said, I don't want to. And self says, I want to go fishing. I'm sorry, self, but the weather's bad and you can't go fishing today. Well, I can still think about it. No, self, you're going to shut up and we're going to sit down and we're going to get into the word today. There's a battle going on. We're in a warfare. It's not me that says no. It's just that workings of the powers of darkness, those little foxes that want to spoil the branch, you know, the tree, the vine, and we just have to keep picking them off and kicking them out and kicking them out and saying no. And every one of us, spirit-baptized Christians, we have been given authority over the enemy. All we have to do is speak the word. Speak the word. Say what God says. The Bible says if two agree on earth as to touching anything that you ask of the Father, it will be done. Didn't he? That doesn't mean that you necessarily have to go and say, okay, brother, well, you'll be an agreeing partner with me. Listen, Jesus is with you everywhere you go. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So you and he make a majority, right? And if you and he, you say what the word says, the word is God. If you say what it says, then that's two of you agreeing together. And bless God, it has to become a reality. Stand in faith. Believe it.
Glory. I think I'll go to preaching in a little bit. Hallelujah. All right. Psalm 19. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory.
And we're just going to look at one verse, verse 7, but all the rest of those are extremely important. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The word of God is perfect, converting the soul. That word converting means restoring. I need further restoring. I need more restoring. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If we can just get a vision of how great and mighty our God is to some small degree, and how infinitesimal we are when, you know, if you get up there in a plane about 10,000 feet and you look down and you say, no, there goes John Smith. No, you couldn't even tell who it was. So if we can realize just how infinitesimal small we are in the sight of God, and how great and mighty God is, it'll bring us to a point of realizing the simplicity of our life. Just a little vapor. We're here. Oh, but brother, I know this person, and he lived to be 104 years old. Well, that's great in the eyes of the natural man. But how long is that in the sight of God? When God's eternal. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100. A little short psalm. There's seven verbs in there that denote action. This means something you do. And I'll just name them out here quickly, and I hope you all can remember them. The very first word, make, and then serve, come, know, enter, bless, and be. All verbs that mean it's something you do. Another good one to just meditate in. The verse that I want to really key in on is verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's an entrance. Praise, worship is an entrance into the very presence of God. There was a little fellowship, and may still be, but some years ago there was a fellowship in South Chard, England, about 50 or 60 people. And one of the people came to this country, and I heard this testimony. Said they got together one night, and there were some pretty dire needs in that fellowship. And they started praising and worshiping the Lord in about the second, third little chorus of song. They began to sing, and they sang it, and they sang it, and they sang it, and they sang it. And after about the 40th or 50th time, they sang that little song, that one little song of worship and praise. The Spirit, the presence of God, just centered down, and everybody in there was so overcome by the power of God, and every sick person, every need was met. There wasn't one need that was not met that night. Nobody prayed for anybody else. Nobody laid hands on anybody. It was just the sovereign presence of God that just settled in. Is anything too hard for our God? No. Praise the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Glory to God. All right, let me put another word up here. And while I'm doing it, look at Hebrews 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. Not only are we justified, not only do we have an entrance, but we are saved to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost. One old man said, I've been saved out of the guttermost to the uttermost. Oh, hallelujah. All right, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 25, 1 and 2. Hold your finger there and then to 28, 1 and 2. And our next word is unto. Psalm 25, 1 and 2. Try to cover this quickly. I done got everybody hungry now, so I got to hurry up. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. You believe if we ask God that? You believe he'll hear us? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And then Psalm 28, 1 and 2. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Then 29, 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then 1 Chronicles 16, starting at verse 23. 1 Chronicles 16, 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. Sounds like today, doesn't it? But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O kindreds of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So what are we going to give unto the Lord? Unto him belongs praise and worship and adoration. Unto him we are to offer up that sweet sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. All right? Maybe I can get this other one in here. While I'm writing another word, 1 Chronicles. Well, I'll just give this one to you. I won't even turn to it. 1 Chronicles 29. You read it later, the whole chapter. Then the next scripture is Romans 12, 1 through 3. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, folks, brethren, sisters, fellow saints, by the mercies of God, God's riches at Christ's expense, that you present your bodies. Present your bodies. Okay, God, here's my left arm. I use my right one. But you can have this left one. Do whatever you want to with it, God. God says, I don't want your arm. Okay, God, I'll give you both feet. He said, well, maybe I can use them after I get something else. This will, we'll find out. that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God doesn't ask anything unreasonable of us. And do not be conformed to this world. Uh-oh. And do not think like this world. And do not allow your minds to be manipulated, tormented, tortured, full of envy and strife, and full of jealousy and full of covetousness. Oh, I've just got to have what my next door neighbor has. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, not to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Our mind belongs to God. And just as Jesus went into the temple where the money changers and all the other stuff was going on, and he made himself a whip and he drove everything out of that temple, you are the temple of the Most Holy God. And the Holy Ghost has the whip of the Word, and he's doing his utmost to drive out of this temple everything that's not of him. All you've got to do is just let him go. Praise God. Two more scriptures. John 16, verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Well, I've been put out of a few synagogues, churches. So what? Might be put out some more? Probably will. Because I'm like David. I'm going to be a little bit more vile tomorrow. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm at a place where I'll just look straight at him and say, have at it, you can't kill me. What do you mean? I'll blow your head off. No, you can't blow my head off. My head's not this thing up here. Do whatever you want to with this body. Just take it out there and feed it to the sharks. I can care less. I'm not this body. I'm a spiritual being. And I'm just using this body to convey me here and there, wherever God opens the door, to speak forth the Word of God. Hallelujah. One more scripture, Ephesians 6. I did make it through. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Servants, oh, that's not talking to us. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Glory to God. That's enough to get excited about. Well, stand to your feet. Now, you see what this is? Justified entrance, saved unto service. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And when you can become all that we've talked about, that's Jesus. Jesus is the first begotten from the dead, the first begotten. You and I are the umpteen millionth begotten from the dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But now we are alive in Christ. And we're just going to go on and do greater exploits. Look out, kingdom of darkness, we're going to tear you to pieces. Because everywhere we go, God goes, and God is light. And Jesus said, let your light so shine that others may see the good works of God in you and thereby glorify the Father which is in heaven. He didn't say too much about hearing, you know. Let others see the good works of God in you. And then be ready when they say, well, what have you got? How come you're so happy? Then you can sort of get their curiosity aroused by just kind of smiling and say, well, I sure got something good.
Well, you know, what is it?
Well, you know, it's really better than any ice cream or anything, you know. Just kind of egg them along a little bit. Then all of a sudden, when they get their curiosity really aroused and they're listening, they're waiting, you know, they want to hear. Then pop it to them. I've got Jesus. Don't you want him? Hallelujah. All right. Say this with me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I belong to you.
Spirit, soul, and body.
I want to be more like you.
Therefore,
I will.
I say it again.
I will.
Study your word.
To show myself approved. A workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing your word.
Walking in truth.
Speaking the truth.
Being an example.
Everywhere I go. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That I am redeemed out of the powers of darkness. And I, as a spiritual being, will take authority and dominion over all the rest of me. And I will bring me, the whole man, into union and communion with Almighty God. I will not be a double-minded person, but I will be a single-minded servant of the Most High God. I thank you, Lord. I declare it. I decree it. And in faith, I believe it to become a reality in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, I'm going to pray for the dinner. Father, I just thank you and praise you, and I bless the food to every one of us that are here. Lord, we've feasted on the meat and the good food. And now, Lord, we'll just go and give these old bodies a little nourishment from some natural food, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.